Everyone knows everybody and their business.
In these towns, like, relationships can just move so quick.
Very local couples would joke about taking DNA tests, and some actually did.
I don't play footy or hunt pigs, so I don't really fit into the country culture of Outback Australia. So I sent my profile to the nearest city and I drive 6 hours for a date.
When you live out bush, because the pool of people are smaller, it is much harder to find someone who actually shares similar interests and sometimes values as well.
Hi, I'm Dee Salmon, and really excitingly, I have an update on Forkgate.
So if you remember in our coworker episode, we started off by saying that there was a thief in the office.
Yeah, who was stealing my forks.
Right off your desk.
And my spoon and my knife.
Everything.
Everything.
The audacity to pinch in broad daylight.
Yeah. Well, Pip and I didn't know who it was, but the update is I actually caught them. Red-handed. I'd just done an interview and then I like walked around the corner and I saw them. They grabbed the fork and then looked up and went, oh, and then they just quickly went, there's no forks around this place. And then walked off with my fork and I was like, okay.
So they still took the fork.
They took the fork. You
were like, I was about to have lunch, thanks.
And now my spoon is missing. Not only is my knife, because last time we spoke it was my knife.
Yeah.
And I couldn't butter my muffin. Now it's my spoon, my knife, and my fork. Why am I using my hands to eat my lunch?
Fully mass targeted you. This is crazy.
Wild.
And I'm next to your desk as well. And I've had a few things like gone a bit awry in the last couple of days as well. And now we know who they are.
Yep.
Oh my God. I love that the mystery is solved.
Absolutely clocked. It was just this really funny moment where we both just clocked each other and I was like,
Was it embarrassing for both of you?
I think, yeah. It was just a bit like, are you okay? It's my
fault.
What if I wanted to eat my lunch?
I love that. Hi, I'm Pip Rasmussen. I don't have any updates of the sort, but I do think I should steer us back into this episode. This topic, if you clicked on it, we're talking about dating in the country, regional, rural areas. This is something that you and I guess you've had experiences of doing it. I've dated people from the country, and I think sometimes we have like a bit of a city bias or a metropolitan bias, right?
Yeah. On the hookup, I will say we do spend a lot of time talking about, you know, dating apps and burnout and swiping and endless choice.
Mm.
And I think it's about time, Pip. You know, we have covered this before, but not for a while. I think it's about time that we gave a shout out to our friends that live rurally, regionally, or in small towns where they don't have that same experience.
Mm.
And it can be kind of hard when you are listening to a podcast that's just like, oh, you know, with endless choice and this and that and low effort dating. And it's like, okay, but like, what if you genuinely don't, like, you swipe for like half an hour and then that's it. That's it.
You run out of choices. Yeah, you're right. So we thought we would spotlight and give you a platform to just tell us about your experiences of dating regionally and rurally. So let's get into it. So before we get into things, I think we should do a little disclaimer and say that you're going to hear a lot of experiences. And like I said, mostly Australian. You might be hearing this from a regional town yourself and be like, this isn't my experience. The thing about Australia, it's fucking huge and it's very diverse. So we're getting stories from people who are like inland, landlocked, like red desert vibes in the middle of nowhere in Australia. And their experience is going to be really different from someone who's in a tiny town in a small coastal area, like away from metropolitan cities. So if you're hearing this and you're just like, this is not my experience, then like, not all these things apply to you. You might actually love dating and having relationships with people in the country. That's what I want to say.
Yeah. It's going to be really, really fun and interesting because we're going to hear from so many different perspectives. Pip, do you have any experiences dating rurally? I'm going to really struggle to say that word.
Rurally.
I'm just going to say I'm going to say regional.
Yeah. I haven't lived rural or regional, but I have dated people who have not come from cities.
You do love a country boy.
Like most of the guys I've dated have actually not been from like major cities. Like easily over half. There's been some interesting mismatches maybe in values and some like cultural differences. And that was really tricky. And I had definitely had some culture shock moments where I was like, holy shit, like you got really different to me. And like our values are not aligning.
More traditional?
Yeah, like a little bit more traditional, sometimes a little bit more conservative. But then again, like I've dated like surfer guys from like the Central Coast who were like hell chill and like totally like 420 blaze it vibes. Whereas I've dated other guys who have been like very conservative about that and been like, I'm really worried about bringing you home to my parents because I'm quite progressive and yeah.
Well, my first two relationships were with guys that lived 3 hours away from my city of Perth, which is so funny.
Both of them?
Yeah.
So they probably knew each other?
They did.
Oop.
Yeah. Okay. So my first boyfriend was from Dunsborough, used to do the 3-hour trip down to see him all the time.
Mm.
We broke up then maybe like a year and maybe 2 years later, I dated another guy from Dunsborough. Clearly didn't learn my lesson. And we did the regional dating thing as well. But both surfers, both like, I guess one of them, the first one wasn't really traditional in his values, but then the second one definitely was because he had come from a really regional town from top of WA.
Right.
Where like, yeah, he like, it was like quite small population and maybe like quite traditional. I remember some stories that he would share about his parents. So very different experiences. But I also lived in Bunbury when I first started working at the ABC for nearly 3 years. And that was a whole different world. Like just being single and being on apps and genuinely being like, well, I've swiped through everyone that I could ever possibly meet. Like it's such a weird experience. I think I just didn't really date.
Yeah. This is something that you're going to hear from people in this episode a lot, but let's get to some polls that we put up on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup. We asked, do you live rurally and are you struggling to date? 49% of you said yes, 51% said no. So that's kind of interesting. You know how I love a split poll.
Yes.
So I'm always like, okay, there's some different opinions here. And we also asked, did you leave your town for love? E.g., did you like go to the Big Smoke or maybe you just went to another different rural town? Same numbers again, 49% said yes, 51% said no, which is really fascinating. I reckon let's get into like all the different like challenges that have come up for you if you've dated in a small town. And again, just to preface this, we're definitely not shitting on any country town experience. And like I said, you know, you might love dating rurally. This is just us giving you a moment to express like what you've gone through and tell us your experiences.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about that poll, Pip, like nearly 50% of people are struggling, living regionally and struggling to date.
Yeah.
So a major thing that we've kind of touched on is the fact that it's a small population.
Mm.
Rach says, always running into past dates, hookups around town. It's so awkward. Adelaide saying the idea of dating in high school was hard. Everyone knows everyone. You felt like you had no one good left. Tanika saying, can't go to the pub with my now boyfriend without at least seeing an ex there. Same for him too. And Jackson saying, you have to be so careful. There's no crossover with other single friends.
Yeah. I mean, like with your two Dunsborough boyfriends, they would have been like, oh, okay. So we've both slept with the same girl.
In hindsight, I'm like, that it was fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, it was really weird that that happened, but clearly I have a type.
Yeah. Well, we got this voice memo from Jess talking about the small pool.
Dating in a rural town is hard. In high school, I gave up even wanting a relationship because I knew I was moving away for uni. I lived in capital cities for 7 years, and the dating experience, or especially the dating apps experience, felt like much less pressure because everyone was anonymous. And if it didn't work out, you're probably never going to see that person again. Plus, there was such a big pool of other people looking to date. Moving back to my rural hometown recently has been hard in that way because it's the total opposite. Once I got back on the apps, I literally ran out of people to swipe on in 3 days. And most people I saw on there was someone I went to school with or like a friend of an old friend or something. It's much less carefree in that way because everyone knows everybody and their business.
That's something that everyone said to us. They were like, everyone knows your business, who you've hooked up with, who you've fingered, who you fucking jerked off.
And you know what? Like sometimes I think about when I was on the apps, like even here or back in Perth, I almost hated being perceived or seen by people I went to school with. It's like, don't see me like trying to hook up or like date. It was such, like, obviously everyone's on apps, so it didn't even make sense that I felt that way. But it's almost like, yeah, seeing a school teacher outside, it's like, don't perceive me.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't want people from high school to perceive me on an app and see my profile being like, this is pineapple and pizza. Like,
it feels much more safe and comfy to stalk your high school friends or frenemies on like Facebook or Instagram. From and you're like, cool. But when it's like a dating app, it's like, oh my God, like, ugh. Like, you want to make out with people here? Like, oh my God, this is so weird. Like, I remember you picking your nose and like putting it on the chalkboard or something in like year three.
Or also people knowing your business, right? Like if you broke up with someone and then you're on the apps, everyone's like, oh, blah, 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 single again, you know?
It'd be like very quickly everyone would know. Indy DM'd us and said, very local couples would joke about taking DNA tests and some actually did. Gag. I just, as a city slicker, I'm like, that is a crazy experience to me. But we've done episodes talking about like dating and relationships with Indigenous Australians. And a lot of the time they would be checking like, who's your mob? Like, are we related or is there any kind of like kinship between us where we share mob? And that was like a serious thing that they would have to do just in case.
Absolutely. A big thing as well that you talked about in the DMs was small town culture, right? Mm. So for example, we got this DM from Jenna talking about how it can be really cliquey.
Depending on how big your city or town is, it can also be quite cliquey and hard to mingle in between groups in the sense that people sort of form branches in school or in workplaces because there's less opportunities to mingle and like less hobbies to do. It's really hard to like leave those groups and find new people, especially if you've moved in and you don't know anyone. It's like, how do you break that ice?
So the thing about a cliquey small town culture and why it's so hard to like break into the dating circle is because some small towns have such a huge history of people, and it's not only the dating part, it's like the friendship part. So when I was dating somebody who I originally met and they were living in a really small town on like a coastal area of Australia, population about 6,000 people, I remember like going to the pub and asking about the people there and asking about their friends. And they were like, oh yeah, that person's not allowed to come to the pub anymore because they did this to this person and everyone's kind of like, that's their nemesis and that's their enemy. And I just like came away being like, city people, like we don't have enemies. Like no one does enemies like the country.
Do you know what's so fascinating is like how generational the enemy can be, like how sometimes it's like we've hated that family from across the road for generations. Like,
yeah, because something happened where they like there was a dispute about like land or like something and it's been passed down. And then, yeah, they draw those lines and you're literally like, oh, wow, like this is hard. And as a person, if you're new to the community and to break in like that and even date like that, it's so, so hard.
Also, the perfect blueprint for enemies to lovers, dare I say.
Ooh, a bit of Romeo and Juliet. Like, you can't date from that family.
Yeah, you can't date.
Because they screwed us over.
They threw dog poo over the fence that one time 20 years ago. Now we've hated them ever since.
No one does that.
The pie shop thing.
In Larimar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a crazy story.
Yeah, sorry. We don't have time to get into it, but there was...
Google it.
Pie beef.
Anyway, so crazy. But yeah, I totally understand like the clickiness of the small town. Alice saying, I struggled with political differences and casual racism, so I moved to the city and found better options. Yeah, obviously, like, again, what we were saying, like different kind of cultures, different values, different ways of life. Mm. And sometimes, yeah, people come up against those kind of political and social issues.
We heard from a few of you as well talking about how you thought there was limited options for date activities. But then at the same time, we did have equally as many people who were saying that they loved living out bush and felt like they had more of a connection to the land and it was something that they were able to share with their partner, right? Like you could go for a big hike with someone or you could go to the beach and or you could go to a waterfall depending on where you live. And there was so much more room to just like get outside and explore with someone and really build a connection that way as well. Jack saying, I know people shit on fishing, but my partner and I love it. We also do bushwalks, hikes in mountains. It's not for everyone, but there's lots of nature to love out in the country.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, I guess a lot of people did still feel quite limited. This is something that Jenna sent us.
I find that dating rurally is not so much difficult as it is sort of tedious and formulaic. Date activities include watching footy netball games on the weekend or going to the pub. So if you're not into that, tough luck.
When I lived in Bunbury, do you know what I did love? I will say I got sick of it eventually, but I did love that there was no options. Like I loved that every Wednesday we went to the same pub. I loved that every Saturday we went to the same hotel for dinner or we went to, you know, the same beach. Like I just kind of liked that there were these set activities that you did every week with the same people and it kind of felt a bit safe and comfortable. Like, it felt really nice.
Mm.
And I kind of have a nostalgic vibe for that. But I'm also like, I got really fucking bored.
Yeah. Maybe you have a bit of like rose-tinted glasses. Because everyone, when they look back at that, like, you know, part of their life, anyone in the past, they're literally like, oh, wasn't it great when we did this and da-da-da. And it's good that you're like, yeah, I got sick of it. But yeah, I think there is something nice about that. Louis also DM'd us and said, options are slim. Either just not a lot of variety or low effort or no commitment for a distance date. Yeah, I kind of wonder if the low effort dating that Louis is pointing out here might be like a mix of everyone's like emotional walls being up and not being able to communicate. And I think that comes from generations of people who have lived very hard lives. Like, it's very stoic. There's kind of these traditional ideas in the country of masculinity and vulnerability. And we know for a fact, like, loneliness is such an epidemic, especially out in rural areas. People don't talk about mental health, and that can be a real problem. But also, I think maybe the nature of the work. So Louis saying, like, there's also like a lot of low effort and no commitment for a distant date. I'm like, if you are working in a farm or like on a homestead or just doing some kind of agricultural work or something in the country, I can't imagine having the energy to date and driving 200Ks to go and see somebody. And I just think maybe that grueling slog of work is something that's really holding people back.
Also, if you work FIFO, so in WA, FIFO is a massive, massive thing, fly in, fly out, working on the mines. And so a lot of these regional towns, like, if you're away for 2 weeks at a time, no access to your phone, crazy hours, like you said. So then when you are able to date, like, you might meet someone and then you have to be like, okay, bye, see you not again for like another two, 3 weeks.
Mm.
And so I think that can also be really hard.
Yeah, that's so true. We had another thing talking about small town culture from Katarina, talking about the sport culture.
The footy and netball clubs in smaller towns like are a religion pretty much. And so many of my friends who are now married and have houses and have families on the way all met at for football or netball club. And then even if you're not part of that, I was definitely seeing people who were part of a footy club, and you have to change your life to suit that, like, accept the fact that you won't see them on certain times because of training, and that, you know, it's kind of expected that you go to all the functions. And you know, if you're a girl, like, you go and you watch them and it becomes your life too.
I kind of wonder if some of that has some ties with people who live in metropolitan areas.
I was about
areas.
To say, have you been to Melbourne?
It's like AFL culture.
It's a religion here.
You being like, I've been to every fucking function. Actually, you famously don't go because you're like, I don't want to be there. But I think it's interesting. There are some parallels I think we can draw, but I think, like, again, I'm not speaking from like experience of living in these towns. I think there's a certain flavor and there's a certain pressure, obviously. And I think even my small stint with like going to this small town with my partner, and it was like, right, okay, everyone, we're going to the footy on Saturday. We're going to go watch. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess this is what we do.
I can't go bowling. I can't go, you know what I mean? Like, if you had other interests.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's kind of the point, I think, that Katarina's making. It's like there is like one or two options.
And
so if you're
else.
Someone who doesn't connect with that, like, yeah. What else are you supposed to do? It's like, maybe you love dance. Like, maybe you love theatre. Maybe you love art and culture. And it's kind of something that you don't really get in the place that you live. Matt says, I don't play footy or hunt pigs, so I don't really fit into the country culture of Outback Australia. So I set my profile to the nearest city and I drive 6 hours for a date.
Oh, wow.
That's so long.
Well, this was a huge thing that like everyone was saying to us. It was like that distance to travel to meet somebody is crazy. Like setting your Tinder to like 500K plus. We've heard people tell us this before. So we chucked up a poll to see what people were doing, how far they would travel for a date. 50 to 100 kilometers, people, 33%. 100 to 400 kilometers, 10%. 500K plus, 4%.
What do you reckon that is in hours? Oh. Is it like an hour for every
I mean, it depends on the speed limit.
For every 100?
If we're going to math it.
So just to put that into perspective, if you're going 100 Ks an hour, 100 kilometers is an hour. So a lot of people traveling 30 to 100 an hour, 33%. I'm like, babe, that's a city trip.
Yeah, I know. Like getting from one side
to
the other is sometimes that long.
That long. 100 to 400 Ks, 10%. So that could be up to 4 hours.
Yeah. But like, think about the petrol as well.
True. In these dying times.
In these economic crisis times. But yeah, so many of you have been doing long, long trips. And, you know, actually, our friend Tom, Outback Tom, who you might know, who is from Triple J.
He's been on the pod with you before.
He's been on the pod. He is wonderful, wonderful country guy from Kununurra and Wyndham up north. He actually bought a plane to literally minimize like the time spent going. And I'm sure he didn't buy the plane for dating.
But it helps.
I'm sure it fucking helps. But yeah, you're actually going to be hearing from him. I got into his DMs. I was like, I need you to give me some stories and things to say. So you're going to hear from him in a sec. But yeah, we got a ton of DMs from this. Liz saying, seeing someone in another town 1.5 hours away might not sound like long distance, but it was hard. Dana saying, I live rural as well as being queer, which makes it super hard. Every one of my dates has involved me driving 100 to 200 Ks just to meet. And Henry, time consuming and expensive driving 200 plus Ks for a bad date sometimes.
And do you know what makes it even harder is when you can't, like, let's be real, drinking is a part of dating culture. Like, you go, you meet up for a drink. Like,
oh God,
if you're
doing
a big trip, like, you can't have a couple of drinks.
Yeah, because
you've got to wait, and then you've got to wait to maybe get out of your system, and then you've got to drive that distance back. And like, do you book a hotel? Like, where do you stay if you're like,
yeah, and then sometimes people might put the pressure on the other person and be like, well, can I stay at yours? And then you're
exactly,
like,
exactly. You got to think about these things, because I'm like, you can't just call a ride share.
You can't just call a cab.
Yeah.
There's always, and every country town, there's always like, oh, yeah, the one cabbie. It's like, ah, oh, Simon. Nah, he's sick. He's got the flu.
That's so what we had in Dunsborough.
Yeah, yeah. It's always that. So dating culture was something that so many of you told us about. This is some of the challenges that you felt like you were facing dating regionally and rurally. Let's start with long-term relationships, because a lot of you kind of felt like the pace was really different compared to the city. So Bridget saying, I felt like the relationship development pace was faster given the limited options. And Holly kind of agreed with this.
In these towns, like, relationships can just move so quick. During that honeymoon phase, it just goes off the wazoo, because you can always see one another. You kind of always can do, like, go to the same social events. And even if you don't want to see them, you're probably going to bump into them at the supermarket. And it can be quite fun at the time, but it just moves things so quickly. And even if you're dating someone who maybe doesn't live in the town, then so early on in the relationship, you have to have those discussions of like, how are we going to make this work? Do you move here? And just like quite high pressure stuff for what could just be like a very chill, lovely time in a relationship if you're in a city. It just all moves a bit quicker and has a lot more pressure on it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure to commit sooner and have those big discussions like the moving or, like long-term future goals, stuff like that.
Also, to Holly's point, like if you are seeing each other all the time, that means other people are seeing you guys all the time. And so therefore, like, you don't really have the – like, I'm just comparing it to my relationship where – in the city, like, we got to date for like 8 months before anyone even knew that we were dating.
Yeah.
But like in a regional place, like people will see you and then be like, what's going on with them?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you can't really get to know, like, if you're being seen publicly with someone, you kind of are making a statement like, I'm potentially dating this person.
And everyone, as we know, is in everyone's business.
So, oh, yeah.
And so they're always like, oh, you know, how's it going with so-and-so?
Blah, 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 blah again.
I saw you at the cafe.
Saw you pashing.
The morning after walk.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. All of that. For sure. And like, yeah, comparing it to like a city experience, I think there's so many people there, and there's just sort of a different culture, I guess, in some places where it's like a little bit more chill to like casually date. It's way more available and accessible. Yeah, like a lot of you felt like that pressure to kind of fall into like a status quo and to move the relationship and get like serious about things, because the casual dating is kind of like not there and people want to like settle down. So Coco was like really agreed with that statement and was like, the pressure for kids on relationships is immeasurably heavy. Feels like everyone else is doing it, so you have to do it too. You got to follow old school morals and ethos, and you're weird and looked at differently if you don't follow suit.
So kind of like what we were saying before, like if you're not into footy or you have different interests, like it is hard to find someone who you might want to be in a long-term relationship with who is compatible. And this was something that our, like Pip said, very good friend of the show, Outback Tom, sent us a voice memo about.
Because there are less people in town, it is much more challenging to find someone who is actually suited to you or, say, more compatible.
An example of this would be if you're an artist who likes to paint, maybe you like jazz music and you enjoy writing poems, potentially you want to find a partner who reflects those values and also shares similar interest. When you live out bush, because the pool of people are smaller, it is much harder to find someone who actually shares similar interest and sometimes values as well.
See, this is something that a lot of you were telling us, that you were potentially settling down and committing sooner with people who you had no compatibility with because there was no one else to choose, essentially. And yeah, so many of you DM'd us about this, including Jess.
I definitely think that people can tend to settle more often in small towns because they've found someone decent but not necessarily great, or they think that's still one of the best people on offer in town, if you want to put it that way, or they stay with someone because it's comfortable.
Holly also messaged us about this as well, who you heard from before.
Yeah, I've lived in a regional town for over 7 years now, and looking back at some of the relationships, like the red flags were just so obvious from the beginning, and I just also knew at the time that they weren't my forever person, but you just keep up the chats and kind of keep the relationship going because you're lonely and bored and you're both like filling a void.
Despite a lot of you messaging us and saying that you felt that pressure to kind of couple up and maybe go down a more traditional route when it comes to relationships, there were still a lot of DMs pit from people who were saying that they were experiencing kind of low effort dating and hookup culture as well. Liam said it's very hard to find someone that wants a relationship instead of just something casual. And we heard from Katarina, who spoke about the fact that she, as like a woman dating men, has experienced like really kind of shitty behavior.
The famous hookup culture in these small towns, and I know within my friend group, we all accepted that we would sleep with people that, you know, your friend had slept with. And for the most part, we were really okay about that. And I think as well, probably the one thing that's not really talked about is the attitude of men towards women. And that hookup culture can be really brutal, where men can be really, really disrespectful, and you're almost expected to play into that role.
I really wanted to know a bit more about that and figure out, is this just a everything thing with some people experiencing dating men and like the disrespect, and or is there sort of like some sort of specific flavor to misogyny in the country? I think I could probably hazard a guess and say like maybe what we were talking about before in terms of like some traditional values, potentially like that stoicism and maybe that kind of, I don't know, like an Aussie blokey hard yakka vibe, but I don't know. I would love to know more about that and figure out if that's something that country people really feel more than city people, because we know.
We know it happens everywhere. It's happening here.
Yeah, exactly.
We did get this really interesting voice memo from Bella, though, who spoke about the place that she lives has a real strong swinging culture.
Ooh.
I know.
I grew up in a very rural, remote town, and there's definitely a swinging culture within the town that everyone knows about and some participate. It definitely involves, like, after social events, like the races, or if there's an event and everyone goes to the pub, that's kind of the place where they start to kick off and then ferment into more. I've definitely had friends approached by couples asking them to join them for a night or to continue it long term. The age demographic is definitely between like late 20s to early maybe 50s. And it's definitely long-term couples looking to like spice up their relationship. But it's definitely there and it's definitely talked about and well known.
Wow. So fascinating, because I feel like obviously those dynamics with, you know, ethical non-monogamy exists like everywhere, but I guess one of the issues of that in a regional area is that like how much people would know and talk about it.
Yeah.
And there's still a bit of stigma, right? Like, and tabooness around that. And so, what might be so normal in Melbourne might just be seen in a place that's has less people, and people whisper and talk about it as like, oh, can't believe they're doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And speaking of those kind of like, non-traditional, I guess, relationship types and hookup culture, we had so many people who were coming from like a queer an LGBTQIA plus background, talking about their experiences growing up in the country and often having to leave as well, because that sort of non-traditional type of relationship was very much not a part of country life. Andy saying living rural makes dating as a gay guy very difficult. And James saying, I had to move to the city to come out as gay, lived all my 20s as a straight male. Oh, I really feel for you. Like, that's really, really tough.
Totally. And I think I experienced this in Bunbury with one of my good friends who lived there, who's gay, and he would always hook up with closeted gay men in straight marriages. Like, wow, he would, yeah, like, it was really hard for him to meet like another just like young queer guy. Mm. And he'd always, like, his hookups were mainly just like men who were hiding that part of themselves in like a marriage with a woman. And I also think it's so hard for people who live regionally and maybe find like discover their sexuality through TikTok or learning, like, we know we spoke about it during COVID, like, so many people realized that were bi or pan or queer. And so imagine like having access to all this community online, which can be so incredible, mm, with discovering your sense of self, but then not being able to really tap into that community. Mm. Like, that must just be so hard to be like, I'm awakening to all these new ideas and who I am and discovering myself and my people, and then not being able to like really be a part of that must just be so difficult.
Yeah, and like putting that into practice. And for some, that actually might just mean like hooking up with someone who's the same gender as you. And as we've heard, it's really hard to do this because people know everyone's business and you would feel like so much shame and it would just get around town, and it's just something that you might not feel safe to try and to try and understand and flesh out.
Yeah, completely. So I think, Pip, as well, we need to talk about the fact that there were so many people who love living in country towns, in regional areas, in rural areas, and are having a great time dating and having sex and entering into relationships. And we got this DM from Katarina talking about it.
I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I think that a lot of people will actually put a fair bit more effort in to getting to know you, because we're all kind of in the same boat at the end of the day. And there is something really nice about having someone who will drive an hour and a half just to hang out with you and get to know you, and that does make you feel good.
That's you doing your Dunsborough drives. That is such a nice way to flip it for something, like to be like, wow, you really spent all that time and petrol and money to go and see me, and that's really nice. Outback Tom coming through again with the positives. You know, he's such an advocate for like rural and regional towns and regional living, and I think he's such a beautiful example of someone who can see the challenges but also just sees so much positive and so much good. So obviously we had to know, like, what are the things that you love about dating and relationships in these towns? And this is what he had to say.
Even though dating in the outback and in regional towns can be really challenging, I also think there are some absolute massive pros to dating in regional towns. When you live remote and regional and you do meet someone and there is a connection and there is that spark, the ability for growth in a relationship is so much easier and far more greater, in my opinion, when you live regional and in the outback. Everything is so much easier to do out here, whether it's going on a date, like having a drink or getting dinner, exploring the outdoors, or just getting a coffee in town. There are no logistical challenges versus living in the city. When I lived in the city and I was dating, we'd have to book things so far in advance just to catch a drink for an hour or so. When you live out bush, everything is so much closer, and the ability to just sneak off on a lunch break and get lunch together because you're in a tiny town is so much more achievable. So that ability to grow a connection is far more easier when you live in regional and remote towns.
It's so true. Mm. I think we've been talking about choice being a curse, right? Like the lack of choice being a curse. And I think it's a blessing and a curse, because we know that like we have so much choice fatigue, like we've been saying, on dating apps. And so sometimes it's probably just nice to be like, if you do, like Tom said, find someone that you genuinely like, you're not going, no one's distracted, no one's going to be like, oh, the grass is greener. Like, you genuinely are both investing in each other and getting to know each other without being distracted by the what ifs of someone else.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up that, yeah, crippled by too much choice.
Yeah.
It's something that a lot of us experience living in metropolitan areas. And Nekarine really did a great analogy to kind of explain this. I'll let her take it away.
Dating in the city is like Netflix. You have so much choices, yet no choice at all. What I mean by this is that you have so much choices. You end up getting so much decision fatigue, yet you are so wanting to chase the next high, or you decide on someone and, you know, be exciting for, you know, a week or a month, and it kind of dies out and you on to the next thing again. So you can't really find anyone that you can just lock it down with. While for country dating is a little bit like free to air TV. You get what you get. Your choice is very limited.
I love that analogy. And I think it's such a good reminder for us to remember, like, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And when you talk to anyone who's dating in a city or a metropolitan area, we're all still really struggling. Like, there are so many people that we know who are 10 out of 10s, like incredible people, kind, good looking, everything. And they're like, I get no dates. Like, no one's talking to me. No one's replying. So I think there's sometimes, like, you know, there's this kind of feeling and this sense that it is so much easier for city people, but you are really overwhelmed and crippled by the choice and the low effort of it all. So anywhere in Australia and in the world, we're all struggling to date. It's not just like regional areas.
It's so true. It's like there's positives and negatives for both. But it's been so interesting hearing from so many people's experiences. And I think like this app has been such a good lesson for us, like as well, moving forward, like when we do topics, like to, yeah, think about the, you know, DM us, please. Like think about the perspective of people who are like, yeah, but like, what if you only have a couple of people in your town? Like what if you have, you know, have to drive so long to even meet someone? Like these are just such interesting perspectives that I think, yeah, like Australia, you said, like we've been talking about, is so big that so many people do live regionally.
Yeah. And sometimes we can get caught in our little bubble and it's, yeah, a great reminder. And these were such great voice memos and DMs, just like kind of giving such a honest experience of what it is like out there. And yeah, moving forward, we're definitely like, we try really hard to do it. Like, trust me, but sometimes it's hard to forget. And I was even just thinking then, I was like, even when we do like episodes about like STIs and it's just like, oh, just go and get your therapist or your GP. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Where's my STI clinic? Zero, nothing. Who crickets. Is she?
Like, genuine, do you know what I mean? Crickets.
So it's like, yeah, it's a good reminder. And yeah, please DM us if you think that we need to like remember that. And yeah, that would be really great. Thank you so much to everyone who contributed to this app. This has been so great. And we'll see you in the DMs.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.